Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. The Jalapeno Channel 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Wilco Radio, Bazaria County, Texas, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, it's thoroughly confusing 30, and goddamned if it ain't been. It's the 23rd day of July, 2020. It's 12:04 Pacific Time. The Word from the Trenches is hosted by Henry Shively and John D., U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 712-770-5597. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 712-770-5597. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you're going to have to punch in *6, then mute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with JD and myself. Well, it is currently 76 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson. I'm looking for a high of 79 degrees today for the Klamath Basin, and it's cooled down a little. Some clouds are trying to come in, acting like they want to have some thunderstorms, which wouldn't hurt a thing at this point in the ball game. I wouldn't complain about it. That being said, how's the weather today out there in Nazi Joyzy, John? John may be having trouble. Man, I'll tell you, I don't think they're liking the shit we're saying these days. Really not liking it, and they're finding different ways to fuck with us. Because things can run so smooth, I mean, just day after day for a month, and then all of a sudden there's a goddamn problem. Anyways, we'll see what the first article we have up here is. D.C. mayor exempts many city and federal government workers from strict new mask order. And we'll get into that as soon as we turn. Hopefully John will be up by then. We'll be right back. Take your brain. It's time to go.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT,
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5,
Micro FM,
Chiloquin,
the state of Jefferson.
Bringing you the Word from the Trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
And John D. There you are.
How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. How are you today, brother?
I'm doing all right. My apologies. I had a little technical problem on my end. It wasn't actually the computer system. It was something else, but I got it all fixed, and we're up and running. So, just to give you the weather real quick here, Henry, in the northeastern seaboard state of Nazi Jersey, we currently got 85 degrees. We had 95% humidity before. It's actually dropped down to about 85% now, and that air is so thick you could go out there with a chainsaw and carve it.
Oh,
I'm not kidding, man. I walked out there. I felt like someone hit me in the face with a wet 2x4.
Well, we got the thunderclouds rolling in, and the humidity came up to like around 60. And so we're hoping.
60? Yeah, I remember 60. That was ages ago.
So is there anything particular? Well, you know, they're turning up the knob. They're the same people. I mean, you look on the screen, it's the same people, the same scenes, the same, over and over and over again. But they are turning up the rhetoric. And they're pushing it a little further, a little further. And they're sticking their toe in the water.
Absolutely. And Henry, people don't realize, and I was thinking about this last night. I was actually going to get up in the middle of the night and start writing about it. In fact, I still may. You know, we are in war right now. There is global warfare going on. They're not just trying to seize this country. They're trying to seize the entire planet. They're using, in their own terminology, they're using what's called asymmetric warfare tactics. That is, they're coming in with the psychological warfare. That's a big one for them. Economic warfare, financial warfare. They got all these sponsored terrorist groups, which are sponsored by these NGOs, non-government organizations, and by government organizations. You got these city mayors who are actively supporting these acts of rioting and terror and so forth. You know, that makes them traitors because they are aiding and abetting the insurrection. And this is a global war. We are in a state of war. People don't realize it.
You know, I think that they're, I don't know, they're too lost in fear. And it is fear. You know,
and that's what propaganda is supposed to do. It's supposed to attack your fear complex. You know, the human body is designed to feel fear when it senses or perceives a threat. And that fear is supposed to cause you to either fight or go to flight. You know, the fight-flight response, as they call it. And most people are choosing the flight, or submission, which is a kind of a subdued form of flight. That is, don't fight.
Well, exactly, and they're taking their $1,000 AR-15 with every rail on it and every attachment and heat vision scope, and it makes them run faster, evidently.
Well, Henry, I hope in the end when the fighting starts I can buy one of those, because there'll be a sign on it, drop just once.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, yeah, speaking of the mayors, you know, this is a kind of interesting article. It's a D.C. mayor exempts many city and federal government workers from strict new mask order. And
Henry, that's how they watch out for their fellow commies.
Well, it's interesting that they started this in the District of Columbia, because that is a military citadel where they would have the authority to, you know, to tell their workers what they can and cannot do. But Well, you know, you think about the people that do not work for the government that are in that district, and that's why that district could never exist, because it brought the admiralty jurisdiction.
As per the Constitution, which they supposedly say they go by, the District of Columbia does not fall under constitutional guidelines. They are allowed to make their own laws as though it was its own country.
Yep, that's why it couldn't exist. That's why the creation of it was a violation of the Ninth Article, because the Ninth Article was for every person and every inch of fucking property known as the little United Big S States of these Americas. But like I said, they're gonna, I mean, interesting, they went to their military citadel to test the waters, you know. Can we get away with it even in D.C.? Because, I mean, the people are fucking getting sick of this shit, man. You can see it all around you. And like you said, man, are they gonna run at that gun, with that heavy gun that makes them run faster, or are they gonna stand? And, I mean, goddammit, it's time. They have told you that they have no fucking law to back what they're doing. They're doing it at a whim. They are criminals. When you do something that it violates the law, that makes you a criminal. And they're telling you, yes, we are criminals, and we're going to do this, and you're going to accept it. That's like somebody coming up to you.
They're telling us to our face, and by the way, we're going to fleece the wealth of this entire nation in front of your face.
Exactly correct, man. We're going to fleece you, and you're going to bend a knee. You're going to bend a knee, and you're going to get the fucking slave mask on, and the only time you're going to remove it is to kiss our fucking feet. But this was from the news. It was sent in by Misty for discussion. I'm from the Trenches World Report. Washington, D.C. Mayor Merle Bowser on Wednesday issued an order. But now that right there, you know, like we said, we know that they do not have the authority to order us. Only a common law jury can order an individual in their individual capacity, and they have to go through the procedural due process outlined in the Bill of Rights, which is the ratified law, the Supreme Superior ratified law for the United States of these Americas, period. There's no arguing. They're not going to come up and try to argue that the Bill of Rights is not the law. They're just telling you, fuck your law. Well, it's time to tell them, fuck your fucking criminality. If you're gonna resist the people's will, the people's law, well, we're gonna have to take the fucking, well, I ain't gonna run with that gun. Some bitch is too heavy. I'm gonna stand my goddamn ground. and you son of a bitches are going to fucking, you're going to obey the law or get your fucking ass shot. Anyway, Washington, D.C. Mayor Bowser on Wednesday issued an order mandating that people in the district wear facial coverings when they are outside while carving out large exceptions for city and federal workers on the job. And that's communism 101. I mean, when Lenin took control of Russia, you know, they went out and they destroyed all the food production. They wanted to starve the people down to, they had to tear down the fucking Russian people to the bottom, just like we talk about a Marine is torn down to, you know, just the basic raw fucking person, and then build it back in the name of communism. And this is, you know, this is one of the ways that you see the communism, because once they got it down to everybody, it was a fish bowl of rice and a fish head was all they got to eat all day. Then they said, well, we're the people that have to do all the decision making. Our brains have to work better. So we have to have better food than you, equal people, you know, because the communism is, it's all, nobody gets more, you know, there ain't no rich people. You look over at China, at the billionaires and all the shit. I mean, it's all been a farce from the fucking beginning. But here we have
over in China, who are all the really, really rich people? Oh, that's right. That's the high-ranking party members.
Party, exactly. Correct, man. And you did join the party, right? Or else you aren't going to be doing no business. And, I mean, the people who, you know, submit to fucking licensing and submit to the fucking unlawful regulations over their private fucking affairs, they're joining the party. And, I mean, and a lot of them are proud of it. You know, I own a business. You know, what you did, you just sold yourself into slavery. You don't own shit. You work for the government. That's all there is to it. And we've come to the point where there are more people working for the taxpayer dollar than there are people to pay in those taxpayer dollars. And that's why this country is crumbling right before our fucking eyes. Carving out exceptions for city and federal workers on the job. The order requires people to don the face mask covering. I mean, I love the way they put that. Don the face covering outdoors if they ever come near other people, even briefly. Persons leaving their residence shall. I mean, there's just full of lots of shalls and shall nots in the Bill of Rights, the true law of this land, the only fucking law of this land, that are just being, I mean, they're telling you, yeah, we're breaking the goddamn law. We do not have the authority to order you, but we're ordering you anyway. And we're going to have our private enforcers enforce that order. That's gangs, people. That is mafia. And you fucking know it. And we outnumber them 1,000 to 1. We're letting a bunch of fucking mafiosa fucking run us over. It is pathetic.
Henry, at one time in Chicago, Al Capone and his mafia used to run Chicago. Forget the elected bureaucrats. They didn't run Chicago. Al Capone
did.
And I'll tell you what, Al Capone and his mafia treated the people of Chicago better than the so-called government that we have now.
Exactly. There was never the mafia never left this country. They just put INC.
No, just new management.
They put an INC behind their names and started running the fucking election system. Got rid of it, or, you know, corrupted it to the point to anybody who believes, I mean, like this vote by mail shit. Now I've went over that because we've had it here in Oregon for a long time, and I've seen it with my own fucking eyes. I have seen the fucking corruption, and it's very, 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 very easy to do for
now,
these
Henry,
fucking
is that
criminals.
With those secret envelopes.
Yeah, we should use secret envelope. And when they get it, they'll take your ballot out and they'll stuff it with the ballot that they fucking want. I mean, this is blatant fraud.
Well, you know what Stalin said? Now, Stalin was a master at this because his Zionist Jew masters made sure he knew just enough to issue the orders that he was being given. Remember, Stalin wasn't bright. In fact, he was a fucking idiot.
Yeah,
but he was good at following orders. And Stalin himself said, it matters not who casts the vote, only who counts it.
Exactly correct, man. Shall wear a mask when they are likely to come in contact with another person. I mean, you talk about open and arbitrary and unlawful, because they've declared it unlawful, even in the Admiralty. And that would make it unlawful in D.C., you would think, but well, I don't know. There is no law. We've said that all along. We've tried to let people know that if you ever want law again, you're going to have to get out that goddamn gun, and you're going to have to, you can't run with it. unless you're running towards the enemy, you run away from them and try to hide, well, you're done. Such as being within 6 feet of another person for more than a fleeting time. What is the measurement of a fleeting time, John? And this is supposed to be a law.
I don't know what the fucking term means.
More than a fleeting time. And these are, they're using this like law, people. Law is specific. It is factual. It can only be interpreted one way. Or else what you have is anarchy, and you have anarchy from the top down to the streets of Portland and the streets of Seattle and the streets of Chicago. Pure anarchy. Boy, wasn't those all those anarchists that tried to get on the the site and say, oh, anarchy's a good thing. It's not what you think. It's not communism. It's pure fucking Marxism. And it always has been. And every one of you dirty son of a bitches is going to get your head blowed off. We will kill your communist asses like they fucking didn't mean a fart. The order declares. With what authority are you ordering there, Madam fucking Mayor? What is your authority? Show it to me. Because that's what I was taught in fourth grade. When you challenge authority, the person who is trying to inflict an authority upon you is supposed to show you that authority. And you have the right to challenge that authority. Well, I want to see your goddamn authority. Because it's already been announced by your own people that you have none. You can't. You are a criminal. And you have a criminal gang and you think that you're going to do this shit. Well, the people that let it happen are the people that let... This happens only if you let it. Because, God damn it, you outnumber the son of a bitches thousands to one, and you fucking allow one little fucking prick. It's like when everybody went to the beach, it showed. It showed how much we outnumbered them. And boy, they flipped that around pretty quick with their fucking George... what was his name? I can't even remember the guy's name anymore. Their act with turning it into a Black Lives Matter where five out of six of the Black Lives Matter communists are fucking young white women.
Young white trash. Yes, it was, yep. George Floyd.
George Floyd, that was it. Thank you. The mayor's order makes exceptions from the strict new rules for many city and federal government workers, stipulating the enforcement provisions of this order shall not be applied to persons in the judicial or legislative branches of the district government. The district government. While those persons are on duty and shall not apply to any employee of the federal government while they are on duty. So, what the hell does that mean? That means that they're of a higher fucking right than the people who do not work for the fucking government? The District of Columbia...
No, it means while they're performing their functions for this international criminal cartel running this country, they're not capable of transmitting the disease. That's what it must mean.
Well, that COVID-19 is a sneaky son of a gun. You got to admit it.
I admit it, Henry. I do.
It's like I said yesterday. They can't find the cure, John. They can't find antibodies. And they can't, for some reason, this has just got them all dumbfounded. They're going to have to inject you with all kinds of crazy shit to try to get rid of. Well, you know what? It's always been, there's no cure for the common cold. There never has been. And the common cold's been there all along. I want to look up, but I'd never find the correct numbers because they're got to be hiding them. How many people just die in the United States? Like in 1998, how many people just died because it was their time to go?
Well, this number I did look up, Henry. In the United States alone, that is the 50 states, on average, 8,000 people die per day. That's just the normal number.
Well, there you go. And if every one of them can be marked with COVID-19, because everybody's had a goddamn cold, these people, like my daughter-in-law's fucking grandparents in their late 80s, and they're fucking, and they get it, and neither one of them has a symptom. Now, somebody in their late 80s who never had a symptom, who caught a virus this fucking dangerous and deadly, surely they have immunities that protected them, right? And those immunities could be identified. But what they're saying is they still cannot identify COVID-19. I'll identify it for you. It's the common cold. It's always been here. And there's never been a cure for it. And there, and the way things are going, there's never going to be a cure for it. Because it's a cold. And when people get old, if they're not healthy, and you know, you got underlying circumstances like a bad heart, lung disease, or you're just infirm, a common cold can kill you. It always has, just like the 8,000 that die every day naturally because of the, I mean, a lot of it could be avoided, I think, if we weren't breathing poison that's being sprayed on us, if we weren't eating GMO foods, if we weren't having these inoculations that are designed to kill us. I think that you could bring that number down. But other than that, this is all a sham. Everybody, I mean, I've got another article here about somebody, you know, he's tested positive, he's been, you know, quarantined. He never took the test. There was no test, but they keep insisting that they have him down as a COVID-19 fucking carrier. We can go look at that.
And remember now, these tests don't actually test for COVID-19. That was part of the reason I didn't write that article last night. I wanted to. You know, we are at global war right now. Uh-huh. But I was actually reading up on how the immune system actually functions. And part of it is when your immune system attacks these coronaviruses, which is the common cold, they break apart, but some of the fractured components of the DNA remain in your blood system for quite a while. It's harmless, but that's the way your immune system works. Well, this test that they call, what they call a test, what it does is it takes all the genetic material, amplifies it, and when it finds a sample or a piece of these fractured DNA segments from the defeated virus, it amplifies those also. And that's how you get the positive test results. Even though you beat that particular virus, that cold virus, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, it could have been 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Everybody, I mean, well, here it is. Government says man has tested positive for COVID. He says he has never been tested. This is from Western Journal. It was sent in by Misty for discussion. I'm from the trenches, worldreport.com. If you're going to count someone among those who've tested positive for COVID-19, it helps if he's been tested in the first place. This, I mean, it's getting to be a fucking joke, dude. But it ain't funny because, I mean, there I have another article here about them talking. I can't remember which state it is, but or they're going to put together policing teams to go and when somebody reports when one of the comrades reports that they've seen someone without a mask, they're going to go have an enforcement arm. Now they're having an enforcement arm for what they have admitted is they have no jurisdictional authority to fucking even do.
Now we're getting into the Gestapo tactics here.
Exactly.
Gestapo went after people, investigated people who were contrary to the Nazi party, and they didn't call themselves Nazi. They were National Socialists. That's what they called themselves. And now what you got here is COVID-19 is not a medical emergency. It's a political emergency. And what they're saying is, if you don't agree to our politics, we're going to have our uniformed officers come visit you.
Well, that's when you decide whether you want to. Maybe you should just leave the gun and run. I'm gonna throw something out there for you guys. I'm gonna throw you a fucking bone. You can run faster without a gun than with one. Okay. This goes without saying. One would think. However, the case of Brooke Ballou shows how bureaucratic sloppiness. Now, this is accident. It's bureaucratic sloppiness. It isn't deliberate fucking fraud. This is bureaucratic
sloppiness. No, not across the entire planet. No, it's all bureaucratic sloppiness in every fucking country in the planet.
You betcha, from the top to the bottom. Has infected our COVID-19. I like that. Infected our COVID-19 response. According to WSMV-TV in Nashville, Ballou, a Mount Juliet, Tennessee resident, knew he was potentially at risk for infection by the coronavirus. One of his co-workers had it, and he was expecting a call from a contact tracer. What he wasn't expecting is that the contact tracer would be telling him he was listed as having COVID-19 without being tested. She specifically said, "I'm looking at it right here. You tested positive. This is a follow-up call to see how your symptoms are," Ballou's told WSMV. "All right, so that's one call, right? Well, it wasn't just that. There were two more days of calls, Ballou said, both with similar messages. The contact tracer said, I'm still seeing that you're positive. Courtesy call, checking your symptoms, Ballou said. Was this a case of mishearing the person on the other end of the line? I'm 100% sure that what she said, Ballou said. She was looking right at it, she told me. I'm in the system, looking right at it, that you've shown positive. Ballou's problem is probably the same as yours. He wonders how he can't trust the numbers coming out of the state if he's being counted positive without actually taking a test. I said, I don't know what's going on, but it's wrong, Ballou said. I'm just another number when I'm not. According to WSMV, Ballou provided three phone numbers to the station where he said the calls came from. All three trace back to workers with the Tennessee Department of Health, WSMV reported. But anyway, so what this contact, you know, tracing, what they're going to do is if you were just in contact with somebody, this automatically puts you down. I mean, why are the numbers just skyrocketing, John? Why are they skyrocketing? Because, I mean, now...
Well, didn't they increase the testing?
They increased the testing, and they're doing this contact tracing. And evidently, if you were just in contact with somebody, test or no test, you've got it. And you're going to be put down on papers getting it because they want to control those fucking numbers. Those numbers are what they're, you know, like this D.C. mayor, like all these fucking mayors and all these fucking governors. These numbers are what they're declaring their unlawful authority under. I have the authority. It's an emergency because there's 1,240,000 people that in my state that have had, you know, tested positive. So that gives me the right. No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. What you are doing is a crime. What you are doing is against the fucking law of this land. What you are doing is an absolute violation of the procedural due process contained in the Bill of Rights, which is the only fucking law in this land. It was ratified by we the people. It's our law. Now either we're going to accept this shit, people, or we're going to fucking start knocking the shit out of these cocksuckers. It's one of the two. You can take that gun.
Henry, isn't this act itself an act of treason or at least sedition? Because what she's doing is seizing power by declaration. She's just declaring that
yes.
She has the power to take the right to take these powers when she doesn't. Isn't that what a coup is?
And that's exactly what a coup is. And that's exactly what you're seeing. You're seeing these communists who do not have the numbers to whip the American people and put us into fucking subjugation. And they're just making these little declarations, and it'll be, you know, what they're testing where they can make penetrations into the people. And this mask thing, man, I mean, when they first started, nobody would wear a fucking mask. But then, I mean, I'll tell you, one of their greatest fucking cohorts was Donald J. Trump. When
don't say that. I mean, not MAGA.
I hate to say it. He's against
America great again.
I know, and he's against the Marxists, though he is an international communist by definition. But he was trying. I mean, they want us divided into two forces so that we can have a civil war and kill one another and eliminate the problem that we represent with our Bill of Rights. We're standing in the way of their New World Order. But he showed his true colors when he donned that mask. And when they all day long, they show that same picture of him coming down the hall with the fucking mask on. And they're talking about, you could make it a national fucking national order. No, you'd go ahead and make it a national order. What does it matter, people? Tell me, does it matter if we die over the face mask, which is just the thin edge of the thick wedge? You come to get my gun. You're violating my rights, and I'll shoot you. No, you won't. You'll fucking...
Or if they come to take their toilet paper forts.
There you go. But I will put on the slave mask, and I will bow before you. I will kiss your fucking ring and declare you my fucking leader with just... You're, well, I guess you are ordained by by God. I guess that's how you got this kind of authority. It must have come from God, like it did back in the old days when the people were fucking, you know, the king could arbitrarily do, see that guy over there, hack his head off. That's not due process. It is. It's the king's order. And that's where we're at here, people. And these little petty fucking state tyrants thinking that they can fucking just, they've told you it's unlawful. Now, are you going to let somebody do that? They tell you it's unlawful for somebody to break into your fucking house and take your possessions, rape your wife, rape your daughter. And if they come into your fucking house and they just say, well, no, I have the authority. I have the authority to do this. I say so. How'd you get the, let me see your authority. Well, my authority's right here. I'll use my fucking gun. I got this gun from fucking China. They sent him over. I'm a Marxist. And my authority is the bullets in this fucking gun. Where's your authority? Well, I have a gun, but it's buried out in the backyard. It's pretty heavy, and I can't run very fast with it. I swear to God, this is where we're at, people. You better fucking make some decisions, and you better start backing your goddamn rights. You better start fucking standing up like fucking men with balls and telling these son of a bitches, back off, or well, you're dying. You come to me and fucking try to force me.
Didn't Stalin himself tell us what we have to do? What he said, political power comes from the barrel of a gun.
You goddamn right. Now either you're going to fucking eat that spoonful of shit, or you're going to tell them you're not going to eat that spoonful of shit. And when they try to force you to eat that spoonful of shit with a weapon, you are going to use your own weapon to kill them. That's how the real world works. That's how it's always fucking worked. And I mean, do you naive son of a bitches that think otherwise, I feel sick and sorry for you. Because I know, you know, I used to think it was ignorance. I know it ain't ignorance now. It is, I mean, when I see some of these people talk about this, I mean, they are scared shitless, John. Talking about, I'm sitting there, you know, fucking just like I always am. And they're talking about this COVID. Oh, I mean, I don't know if it's real, but gosh, are you sure? What if it is real? And I get it. Well, you're going to fucking die. If it was real. But it ain't real. And you're going to die anyway. Because the whole intent here is to kill your dumb ass. Because they want to depopulate this fucking planet. They wrote it in fucking stone in Georgia, you stupid ass fool. I mean, people, grow some fucking balls a little bit. You're going to let these little pig... Are the goddamn face mask police going to take you? Or are you going to fucking fight them? I mean, because a face mask or a gun is no different. It's your fucking guy. It's a violation of the fucking law. It's a violation of your fucking rights. Either you will fucking enforce that supreme superior law or get down on your goddamn knees and suck their ass and hand them your fucking gun because it is heavy and it does make you run slower. Or go run and hide in a fucking hole. Bury your fucking gun, you fucking cowards. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Oh, people, why don't you come in here and let me talk to you a while? That's right, step right up and listen to a concerned citizen speak his piece. I tell you a little something that my daddy told me. The basic fundamentals if you want to be free. Cause son, there's something wrong internally. So if you want to be a son, don't want your country to be overrun. You got to keep America. What they're trying to do. Son, don't let them take your gun. They're taking your Bill of Rights away from you. Yes, son, don't let
what they're trying to do.
Son, don't let them take your gun.
Don't let them take your gun away from you.
To the word from the trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The word from the trenches is a listener sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to fromthetrenchesworldreport.com and hit that donate button, or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated and needed. From the Trenches World Report, the word from the trenches is hosted by John D. U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny and Henry Shively. And, you know, that was Grand Funk Railroad there at the break. I said, don't let them take your gun. And you really don't want to let them take it, because if you have to put them to the effort of taking it, they might get mad at you. What you want to do is throw that son of a bitch down and just run. Just run for all you're worth. You're bound to get somewhere someday. Anyway, it's time for the tactical report. That means I'm going to say it. John, you have the floor.
Okay, Henry, thank you. And if you're going to throw your gun down, put a little sign on it. For sale. Cheap. Dropped. Just once. Fucking cowards. All right, let's get moving here. I am John D., U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny. This is the tactical report. It is Thursday. That is from the Nordic mythology of, you know, the Viking god Thor. It used to be called Thursday, which became Thursday. And we got, let me see here, it is July 23rd, 2020 at 1542 Eastern Daylight Time. That's 342 to all you civilians out there. All right, let's get moving here. I want to cover a couple of things in the financial market real quick. Gold and silver are on the move. We've got gold currently just shy. It actually came back down. It was just about 1900. Then the manipulators stepped in and actually drove it down. It's currently at about $1,883 an ounce. Silver is at $22.45. That pulled back. That was just about $23 a couple hours ago. And let's see, take a quick look, fly over that fraud called our financial markets. Remember, they're complete frauds, complete cons. They're based on the U.S. dollar, U.S. dollar, the Federal Reserve note, which is the international communist currency or certificates of enslavement. That's all the U.S. dollar is, people. It's a method of transferring wealth. Yeah, you think you can go out and you can buy some stuff with it, but that's not where the real action is. The real action is how they're stealing all of that purchasing power out of every dollar you work for. That's the real mechanism here. All right, and I've explained that before, and I'm not going to go into it now. Maybe one day I'll revisit again, but right now we've got the Dow Jones Industrial Average, that fraud, that con, at 26,600. It's down almost 300 points today. The U.S. dollar index is at 95%. Remember, the U.S. dollar index is not a measure of purchasing power, but it is a comparison between the purchasing power of the U.S. dollar and a basket of six other currencies. But if they all devalue equally or at the same rate, well, then it stays fixed. It doesn't change because it's not a measure of the purchasing power. It's just a comparison of which is losing purchasing power quicker. And when you stay at around 95, 97, on 100%, that means they're all devaluing at about the same rate. They're all losing purchasing power at about the same rate. That's what that number actually means. Crude oil is at $41.21, and it is down 70 cents from its high of today. So I'm still happy. I like it when I see crude oil down because that tells me I've got a little bit more time to use the stuff in my pocket we call money. It's not money, it's currency, before it goes into hyperinflation. Now, you heard me talk about the interview given by Alistair McLeod, and that actually is over on King World News and was over in a bunch of other outlets too. And he's talking about his expectation is that we may see the devaluation reach epidemic proportions. That means hyperinflation or at least mega inflation. Mega inflation is where you're on the road to hyperinflation, but you haven't reached it yet. That is, you can actually see the loss of purchasing power, but it hasn't gotten to Zimbabwe proportions yet. Remember Zimbabwe 2007, in the beginning of 2007, the Zimbabwe dollar could go out and actually buy you some food. And by the end of 2008, just a year later, they were printing the $100 trillion Zimbabwe note, which could not even buy you what a Zimbabwe dollar could buy you a year earlier. That's an extreme example of hyperinflation, but it is a classic example of what hyperinflation looks like. All right, let's get going here. Over in King World News, I'm not going to read the article. I invite you to take a stroll over there and read it, but it's talking about gold. Gold surges to $1,900, approaching all-time high as expert warns global economic collapse will not see a recovery. Well, no shit, because that's not the design. Remember, you can't institute global communism if you have any country that has any measure of prosperity. One of the requirements to institute communism in countries is you cannot have economic prosperity. You must have privation, desperation, and hunger. And one of the ways you do that is to wreck the economy of these countries. Well, what's the best way to do that? Well, come up with some kind of scenario where you can declare you have the right and the need to shut down a country. Oh, there we go. Enter stage left, COVID-19. Well, well, well. Wasn't that timely? All right, let's get moving here. I want to mention two other things. Now, I mentioned this, and last time me and Henry, I mentioned this. Henry seemed a little surprised, so I'm going to give you the, no, that's not it. Oh, here it is. I believe he was a little surprised. I don't know if we had this article on the site or not. This is over in NPR.org. Supreme Court rules that about half of Oklahoma is Native American land. I guess it doesn't belong to Oklahoma anymore, or the United States anymore, or the American people anymore. No, it belongs to them Native Americans now. Half of Oklahoma. Gee, what a lottery win that was for them. Anyway, you can read more about that bullshit over in NPR. All right, and last couple of things here. Henry was talking about the D.C. mayor and how they're going to allow exceptions for the workers, you know, for their fellow communists. But this was also out just today. D.C. mayor, and that, of course, is Muriel Bowser, Democrat. D.C. mayor, $1,000 fine for not wearing mask outside your home. Remember, it used to just be they were going to harass you if you wanted to go into a shopping center or you wanted to go into a restaurant. Of course, you have to take that mask off to eat, don't you? So we can't have that, but they'll allow outdoor eating, but you're supposed to keep the mask on while you're not eating, even when you're outdoors. But now it's gone from you need a mask to go into any of these shopping centers to, well, now if you just step outside your fucking house, you better damn well have one on. Otherwise, it's a $1,000 citation. Yeah, people. They're not going to stop. It's not going to stop because as soon as they, quote, develop this vaccine, guess what? Well, it's going to be voluntary at first, but, oh, we're losing the war against COVID-19, so now it's mandatory. And if you don't have it done, well, we'll just send some military to your house. We'll send somebody to help you get it. Or if you don't want to get it, maybe we're just going to have to take you from your home and put you in one of these quarantine camps. Now remember, I talked about all this in 2014, 2015, and 2016. I told you this was coming because this is the best scenario for them to capture an entire nation. And they're not just going for the United States. They're going for the entire fucking planet. It's coming, people. Make sure you clean that rifle real good if you intend to use it. And if you don't intend to use it, like Henry said, when you start running, just drop it. Let the real man behind you pick it up and use it in his fight. When I say behind you, I don't mean running. I mean he's actually standing his ground. All right, let's go on. Real quick here. I like this. This is over in Breitbart News, which I don't care for, Breitbart, but every once in a while they have an interesting article. They're clearly Zionist infiltrated. I can tell by the number of articles they have and the slant in the articles, how they support Israel most of the time in those articles. So there's no question about where Breitbart is getting its money from. But every once in a while, like I said, they do have an interesting article, one worth mentioning, and this is one of them. Portland Commissioner. Police are starting the fires themselves to justify attacking community members. Henry, somebody else has discovered uranium. Say it isn't so. As Henry would say, it's so-so, you can't touch it with a powder puff. All right, let's get moving here. One last thing, and this is interesting. And so I think we're going to see a ramping up of the distraction theater, because remember what Snape said to Harry Potter and to Ron Weasley when they got seen flying their magic car over Surrey, England, when Ron went to bail him out of his house because the muggles that were keeping him, you know, the non-magical folk, were keeping them confined, locked up in his house, and Ron felt the need to go rescue old Harry Potter, so he used his flying car. Only when they were making their getaway, the invisibility booster went faulty and it became visible. So muggles, non-magical folk, saw the flying car, which is a little unusual, even in England. So when they got back to Hogwarts, Snape was ripping him a new asshole. And he said, "You risk exposing our world." Well, guess what, people? That's exactly what has happened with the Epstein revelations, and now the Ghislaine Maxwell revelations, and the Robert Maxwell revelations. Robert Maxwell was her father, who was dead, but it is apparent that he was an Israeli intelligence operative. He was a Mossad, or at least a Mossad operative. That's all coming out now. And they can't allow that, because that's going to start another line of investigation. Forget about the kids. I mean, if all they did was kidnap a few kids here and there, that would almost be forgivable compared to what they actually do. Now, it's horrendous that they do any of it. But the human trafficking, that's actually the least of some of their crimes. We're talking about espionage. We're talking about blackmailing entire governments. Just look at the U.S. Senate. The entire U.S. Senate is owned and run by Israel because they're blackmailing each and every one of them. No question about it. And you can tell just by their voting record. Just look at the voting record of any member of Congress, especially in the Senate, and any bill that was put up before the Senate involving Israel, and you will see they always voted to support it. Doesn't matter what it was for. Doesn't matter how much of the country's wealth they were giving away, how many of our freedoms were being stolen. They always voted in favor of Israel. Not because they're Jewish, but because they're being blackmailed. All right. Over in, and now I hate InfoWars Alex Jones too. He's clearly a Zionist operator. But again, I'm even surprised he's running this story. Judge orders release of Epstein flight logs in Ghislaine Maxwell lawsuit. Uh-oh, somebody better get Mako, because they're about to have a crash here. That's the last thing they want, is the release of those flight logs, because now you're going to start getting an idea of the spectrum of people that was going back and forth to what's euphemistically called Epstein Island, which apparently he bought where they never say where did he get the $100 million to buy it, and then do all the renovations, which was about another $50 to $100 million. Where the fuck did he get all that money? Interesting how they don't talk about that. Or the fact that his money was also being laundered through Deutsche Bank, and apparently the Deutsche Bank lawsuit was part of the case that was just given to that judge whose family was shot by that guy in the FedEx suit. Just a coincidence, though, people. It's just a coincidence. All right, so we're talking about Ghislaine Maxwell, and now I'm just going to mention two other things here. I'm not even going to go into detail about it because I've been doing a lot of research on this. Number one is this operative who's much closer to the center of the spider's web, it appears, than even Ghislaine Maxwell is, and that's Nicole Junkerman. And there's an article out there, planned by nukeprofessionals.blogspot. Nuke as in nuclear weapons, nukeprofessional.blogspot. And he's got an article out there, and it goes into some pretty hairy detail. Nicole Junkerman, Epstein confidant, Mossad, and now infiltrated UK health services. And I talked a bit about this already, but this is really interesting talking about her. And it goes into some fantastic details. Also, clearly she was also involved with what's called the FIFA corruption. Remember the international soccer scandal that happened, that there was bribery going on and so forth? Well, apparently she's linked with that also. The Panama Papers. Remember the Panama Papers a few years ago? Well, apparently she was involved with that. And she also clearly has some Mossad links. Gee, what a surprise. Anyway, there's one other article I want to mention that's over on Blacklisted News going on about Ghislaine Maxwell. And it is The Maxwell Family Business Espionage. That's the name. Remember what I told you. Ghislaine Maxwell is not just a Mossad operative, but she's generational. Generation means she was born into this. So she's got special privilege, and I want to see how they're going to handle her disappearing, suiciding herself, whatever it is, but she is not going to get to trial. And if she does go to trial, the most that's going to happen is she's just going to take the fifth, period. All right, so let's get moving here. All right. Now, we were talking. I want to get back into this because this is important. You never know when you may have to exercise this. We were talking about bug-out bags, preparations. But what we're talking about is what are some of the considerations about some of the items you want to put in your bug-out bag? Because you've got two considerations. One is stresses, the kind of stresses you're going to have to deal with, and loading. Now, loading is really something that's externally done, something that you have a choice about, but also affects your stresses or your stress level. And when we talked about loading, we talked about hydroloading, meaning how much water is in your body. Do you have enough water in you, especially for the level of physical activity you're undertaking at a given moment? We talked about caloric loading, meaning eating food. Are you eating enough? You know, the average is supposed to be about 1,200 calories per day is minimum, 1,500 calories per day, roughly, if you're a healthy male, you know, where you've got a fair amount of muscle mass on you. But the reality is, if you're out there and you're humping a backpack, you're evading patrols, or you're engaging in ambushes, meaning you're actually fighting, you're engaged in fighting, that's very physical. So your caloric requirements now go from that 1,500 a day to 2,000, 3,000. Well, hikers, you know, people who are just doing recreational hiking, they're known to need 4,000 to 5,000 calories a day. And I can promise you, if you are engaging in active fighting or engaging in withdrawing from an area that you feel is no longer for you to even be safe in, and so you're humping with this backpack on your back through the woods, well, you're going to be burning 3,000 to 4,000 calories per day easily. So when I give you a caloric load, what is that I set my pack load at? That is, how much food and water do I put in it? I figure an estimate of 2,000 calories per day for myself. Now, my backpack is actually fitted out for 2,000 calories per day for 5 days. That's how much food I pack in there. Do I want more? Well, hell yeah, I want more. But you start running out of space because it takes up some volume. And also weight becomes a consideration. And those are always two competing factors. How much space do you want to use up for a giving item? And how much more weight do you want to take on your back? Because the more weight you take, the more you have to carry, the more calories you're going to burn per foot that you move. Every footprint you move, every step you take, takes more calories if you're carrying more weight. And that's going to limit your range. It's going to cut down how far and how fast you can go per day. So all those are trade-off considerations you got to make. Then there's physical loading, which I just mentioned. And that is weight and muscle usage. These are the kinds of loading, and that people are accustomed to thinking in terms of that. When you say, oh, he's stressed, well, you're talking about psychological stress, but you're also talking about Well, you know, Bob over there, you're weightlifting and you got a lot of stress on those arms. You're trying to bench press 300 pounds. That's a lot of stress on those muscles. So that's talking about physical weight. We understand that. But we're going to put it in the context of being what's called combat ready, combat efficient, combat capable. All right, these are terms that are generally used. There is no specific term other than you are ready to fight. But sometimes you'll hear military people, or at least when I was in, you would say, yeah, you're combat effective, combat ready. And that's what you're talking about here, maintaining your combat effectiveness, meaning your ability to move, your ability to fight, or your ability to withdraw from a situation, because that's just as important too. Sometimes you may realize the circumstances are so overwhelming that your best option is to simply disengage and withdraw from that geographic location, from the circumstances, from the event, whatever it is that's going on. All right, so let's talk about stresses real quick. Psychological. Now, psychological is one of the most important stresses because that can easily defeat you just as quickly or almost as quickly as a bullet to the head. You know, people give up. They reach a point where they just give up sometimes, even though they were still capable of trying to extricate themselves or defeat the conditions that are trying to defeat them. And, of course, one of the famous ones is the Scott Party. And that was the guy that was making the trek for, oh, if I remember right, the North Pole. I forget if it was the North Pole or the South Pole. Anyway, they got up there. They found that Amundsen had beat them. And now they were coming back from the pole, and they were really just psychologically demoralized. And now it was also extra cold, and there were several factors. It wasn't just psychological factors, but there were several factors about what also helped to defeat them. But they had reached a point where even though they still were capable of traveling, they still had some food supplies, they were still capable of physically moving, they simply camped the tent and stayed there and died. They just gave up, even though they still lived for like another 10 days in that tent, supposedly. Now, 10 days of pure physical inactivity, when you are capable of moving, when you have food, when you could possibly make your next food depot, that's psychological defeat. They just gave up. They were capable of moving. Now, they weren't in great condition. That's a given. But they were capable. But psychologically, they weren't. They gave up. And that's what happens. That is the purpose of propaganda. Propaganda is designed to cause you to reach a state of mind that causes you to give up, even though you may still be capable of fighting, even though you may still be capable of resisting, even though you may still be capable of doing something to alter the conditions closer to what it is you would like to achieve rather than what it is your enemy is trying to achieve. The purpose of propaganda is to create an overwhelming sense of emotional stress, principally fear, to induce a person into self-defeat. That's the purpose of propaganda. Now, if the conditions are such that you ain't going to win no matter what, you're going to lose, well, then it's not propaganda, is it? Then it's fact. But we're not being used. They're not using fact against us. They're using anti-fact. They're using lies. They're using propaganda because they want us to just give up without fighting, and that ain't going to happen. All right, so we got physiological stresses. Physiological is food. I'm trying to see what I wrote here. I wrote a couple of notes. I scribbled a couple of things on the side here, and I can't read my own handwriting. I want to just mention a couple of things here. Oh, yeah. Food, water, and your immunological response, because that becomes very important. As you become more and more stressed, you become much more susceptible to infection or breakdown if you're exposed to any kind of pathogens. And in any environment, you are always exposed to some kind of pathogens, viral, bacterial, and because of the industrial age, chemical. There is chemicals, non-natural, meaning man-made chemicals, that simply saturate our environment. Now, some of them are in just trace amounts, but when your immune system is being compromised, sometimes those trace amounts will start to have an effect on you, a negative effect. And, of course, that makes you even more susceptible to the infections or sickness by the naturally occurring pathogens, which are the viruses and bacteria, that are normal to any environment. And then you've got thermal stresses. Everyone's heard of hypothermic. That's when you're too cold or you lose body heat far faster than you're generating it. But there's also hyperthermic. That's when you're exerting yourself in a very hot environment and you're overheating. Well, that's extremely dangerous too. Then you've got emotional stresses. Emotional stresses contribute to your overall psychological stresses, and you couple that with propaganda, and that's typically what leads people to just give in to self-defeat. You've got, I've mentioned physical stresses, which are specific kinds of bodily activities which lead to fatigue. You've got caloric stresses. Are you eating enough? And if you are eating enough, is it the right kind of food? And then you've got hydrostresses, which we've talked about, which is just water intake. Water is incredibly important. And now my gear is only packed for 5 days worth of self-sufficiency. Now, even the 5 days and just 5 gallons, 1 gallon per day, which is barely enough, and that's with minimum physical exertion, that's 8 pounds of water per day. 1 gallon of water weighs approximately 8 pounds. Well, 8 times 5, that's 40 pounds just for 5 days worth of water. So you can see how the water always typically is your limiting factor. Now remember, if you've ever taken any kind of survival training, they usually teach the rule of three, which is a roundabout rule of thumb figure. It is not specific to any individual person, but it's to give you an idea of the magnitude of how long you have. The rule of three is you can basically survive 3 minutes without air. You can survive approximately 3 days without water, and you can survive approximately 3 weeks without food. They call it the rule of three. Now, that's going to change from person to person to person. Some people can hold their breath for longer than 3 minutes. Some people will never reach 3 minutes, especially if you're a heavy smoker where the lungs are a bit more compromised, and it's very hard to oxygenate your blood fully because your lungs have a coating in them from all the smoking. Now, I know Henry's a heavy smoker, so I know he doesn't do any scuba diving, but scuba divers tend not to be smokers. Now, I know there are a few out there, but most of the time they're more concerned about their lung efficiency than the average person. And one of the things they do to help their lung efficiency is, number one, some of them train on how long they can hold their breath. But number two, they try and engage in activities that do not compromise their lungs in any way. And that means working around an environment where there's a lot of aerosol chemicals. They don't smoke. They don't even smoke cigars, which is not inhaling typically. So your lung efficiency is predicated on some of your normal habits. But the loss of air is only going to occur for most people under one condition, and that is that you're stuck underwater. But there are conditions, especially in an enclosed environment, where you might worry about a chemical release, and you simply try and hold your breath as you're trying to get out the building. That's pretty rare, pretty extreme, but it could happen. So you got the rule of three. That's what I was talking about. All right, so let's get back to this idea now. We talked about caloric loading, how much food you're taking in, and we talked about there's a quality of loading, meaning you can have high-quality caloric loading, or you can have low-quality caloric loading. Shit food. Shit food is low-quality caloric loading. Or maybe it just doesn't have the right balances between sugars, proteins, fats, carbohydrates. For physical activity, there is an optimum mixture of these various elements in the food that is good for you. And in fact, I think Doc had come up the other day, and he talked about how there were, athletes or people who were in the Himalayas, I don't remember now, mountain climbers or something, and they were eating food, but it didn't have the right balance. Even though it had the right caloric number, it didn't have the right balance of oils, fats, calories, sugars, and what was the other thing I mentioned? Oh, God, I can't remember now because I'm doing it off the top of my head. But the idea is, the food quality will affect your physiological response. High quality food is always the best, and that is balanced to the physical exertion that you're under, that you're exhibiting. And then low quality food might be like, well, you're trying to get by on a bunch of candy bars. Now, if I'm really pushing myself hard and fast, a candy bar will help, but that's not a high quality food, not by a long shot. Or you might be eating food that's questionable in nature, meaning maybe it's starting to spoil, or maybe it's very old. Like, you can take a can of food that's several years old. Now, biologically, it's still hermetically sealed, so there is no active bacteria in there. And we're assuming that there is no active bacteria, that it has retained its integrity. So there is no concern about contamination by bacteria. Well, the food in itself, though, starts to break down. The complex sugars start to break down, and that's not usable by the human body. So you can be eating bulk, you can be eating this food, but you're not getting all the nutrition that the food had when it was first canned. And that does happen with older food. So that would also constitute low-quality caloric intake. Where are we at here? Oh, I'm way past the top of the hour. So you know what? We're going to pick this up again tomorrow. We're going to go over this several times, and then we're going to start applying it, these notions, these ideas, these concepts, to the bug-out bag. And you're going to say, wait a minute. What does my loading and stress factors have to do with my bug-out bag? And what you're going to find out is, well, it has everything to do with it. Anyway, we'll get back to this tomorrow. So unless there's any questions or comments, I'm going to hand this back to my friend, my mentor, and my brother, Henry Shively. Going once. And on you, Henry.
Excellent report, John. I can't wait till you get to the part about the pistol and the rifle.
Well, yeah, we are going to talk about that because that is essential. Because there are going to be times where even though you may think a rifle is a better weapon because it's got more reach out and touch, in fact, the pistol may be better under certain circumstances, especially when you want to conceal it and conceal it easily.
Well, I'm talking about the weight in comparison with whether you're going to use it or not.
Oh, well, absolutely. Well, you know, the old saying used to be when you're going to the fight, the weight of the ammo was always too much, but when you got to the fight, you never had enough ammo.
No, you can't have enough ammo. Anyways, looking at this, I was talking earlier about 39 Miami police officers to form mask enforcement unit.
Now, wait, Henry, I thought all this was voluntary.
Well, there is no authority for it. That's for absolutely for sure, even in the Admiralty. And even in D.C., if it's not, there's no authority under the Admiralty, there's just no authority for it at all. This is dictate by force. And this is from The Week. It was sent in by Misty Ford. Discussion on from the trenches, worldreport.com. If you don't wear a mask in Miami, it'll cost you $50. See, they're starting the thing, you know, voluntary, and then it's $5, and then $50 for the first offense.
Well, in D.C., it's $1,000.
Yeah, well, we're getting there. $100 for the second offense, and $500 every time thereafter. So this has nothing to do with fucking money. This is robbery. These 39 fucking private fucking security fucking officers that work for this fucking cartel leader, this whatever the hell her name is there in Miami, or his name, are going out to fucking, they're going to go collect some money. And people will say, you know, I mean, it's just a mask. I put the mask on it. That's not really submitting. Yes, it is. That is completely surrendering your right to the due process of the fucking law. You're surrendering, and you are submitting, and you are being subjugated. Even if it's just a fucking mask. And if you ain't gonna fight, I mean, everybody's always about the gun. Well, if they ever come to take my gun, they don't need to take your gun if you submit. If you submit to this, you'll submit to something else. That's their fucking theory. And they're going to try, at $50, will he submit? No. But the bottom line is there's 39 of these pricks. Find out where they live. They are fucking criminals. They are coming to fucking subjugate you for a fucking criminal gang, a criminal cabal, and you have the right to fucking take the fucking war to them. Make it tell nobody wants to be on no goddamn face mask enforcement. And take 150 people or 200 people out in the street and just take fucking no mask. And when they come, if they come, then just beat the hell out of them. If they want to make it more serious, bring your fucking gun and kill them. You have every fucking right. They are in violation of the law. They are criminals. And they are insurgents into your fucking country. And they are there to take your rights away and make you a goddamn slave. So either you're going to be a slave or you're not, whether it's a mask or a rifle. You know, whether you're going to put that mask on or you're going to drop that rifle and run, it doesn't matter. You're still just submitting, you're surrendering. And you ain't worth the powder it takes to blow your fucking brains out. Miami-Dade County has the state's most COVID-19 infectious report per 100,000 people and the highest death toll. The Miami Herald reports, to try to slow the spread of the coronavirus, people in Miami must wear face masks while in outdoor and indoor public settings, with few exceptions. To ensure people take the ordinance seriously, this unlawful order, which has been admitted unlawful even in the Admiralty, and we know it's there's no procedural due process, and there's no order from any common law fucking court. So that makes it absolutely unlawful under the supreme law of this land. That makes it a violation of your fucking authority as an American national. This is surrendering to a foreign fucking enemy. Mayor Francis, here she is, I'm sure it was a woman, Cerrez, a fucking Mexican woman, announced on Tuesday that 39 police officers will form a mask enforcement unit, working 7 days a week. Anyone who violates the ordinance more than three times will not only get a $500 fine, but will be arrested. That is having your fucking freedom taken away. Are you going to bow to this? Are you going to take those 39 fuckers and scream their fucking ass as soon as they hit the fucking streets and let them know that you're not going to surrender your fucking inalienable fucking rights? What's it going to be, people? We're at the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast of the Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And like I said, whether it's a mask or a gun, it don't make no goddamn difference. You're either bending your knee or you're not. And to accept a fine? No. You accept that fine, you're fucking bending a knee. You do anything but kick their fucking ass or kill them, and you are fucking surrendering your country. You're surrendering the fucking law that your own people died to put into place so that you wouldn't have to live like a goddamn animal, like one of their fucking dogs, like one of their soulless cows, as the fucking Jews like to call it. And you don't hear a whole lot about the Jews here lately, do you? But they're the fucking ones behind it. Make no mistake about it. Are you going to surrender to that little piss hole over in the fucking desert? I'm not. And that is the word from the trenches.